Blog Talk Radio.
Another Sports Tonight in our cold Tampa Bay area. We're brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters of Ember, Pennsylvania. We want to purchase a water heater, log on to bradfordwhite.com. I'd like to welcome our Philadelphia legend, Mr. Don Henderson. Don, I'm looking at these temperatures, and we don't have it so bad down here after all.
No, you're absolutely right. The rest of the country's in a really been a deep freeze, and in all honesty, Tommy and Frank, we've seen it now since really Christmas time. It warmed up for a few days. It snowed. It cooled off again. I know in New Jersey, my home there, it got down to about 3-4 below zero. Oh. So you're right, Tommy. It's chilly. It's very chilly for us, but as compared to the rest of the country, we're not too bad.
Hey, Tommy, we're honored tonight to have a guy who's just one of the best guys in sports in the Tampa Bay area with us, and he only has a few minutes. So that's Mr. Phil Esposito.
Phil, welcome to the program. Hopefully this is not before your dinner time and that.
Well, guess what, guys? I'm cooking.
Oh, shoot. Here we go again.
I know. I'm cooking. I'm making chicken, and I'm rolling asparagus and chicken and then some homemade prosciutto in there.
Well, I tell you, when you talk about making chicken, the ball club made chicken at Philadelphia Flyers' 10-game win streak on Saturday. It was a heck of a game.
It was a great game. I thought that they played very, very well in that game. Lindback played well, too. And you got to have goaltending. Last night proved that, too, at the Ranger game. Bishop was just fabulous in that game. You have goaltending in today's game. The guys, they keep you in the game. I happened to watch a replay today of Boston and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Jonathan Bernier was so good. It was amazing how he kept his team in the game, and they end up winning the game. So a goaltender can keep you in the game, and you end up winning the game is what everybody's looking for.
Well, I know, Phil, the last time we chatted, you talked so much about how defense has changed. Everybody wants to score goals. They want more goals scored. And, boy, that leaves your goaltender in a very vulnerable position. So when you have one, you better hold on to him.
They had two or three two-on-ones on Ben Bishop last night. But all teams are doing this nowadays. All teams are they really believe that the defense has to get involved with the offense to make, to have a scoring opportunity. And the truth is, the goaltending equipment is so big, and it's massive. And the goaltenders are so much bigger than they were years ago that there's no room to shoot. So and the guys are all blocking shots because the equipment is so good. In my day, I used to say, if I blocked a shot, it was by accident. And I used to go to Jerry Cheevers, and I'd say, Cheezy, he says, why didn't you block that? And I said, do I ask you to score?
Oh, no.
That's your job to stop the puck. My job is to score. But the game has changed. The game has changed dramatically over the years, and so be it. But they've got to do something about the goaltender's equipment. The gloves are huge, huge. The shoulder pads are huge. It's amazing. Anyway. Who's that, Tommy, your girlfriend calling?
Hey, Joe, do you think the lighting right now is better than the 2004 thing, better than 2004?
They seem to be playing better. I think the goaltending's better, believe it or not.
Ooh, okay.
I was never a huge Hobby Bullen guy. People forget in that season, 2004, I think it was 14 or 15 or 16 games, John Graham came in. And absolutely played fabulous.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely fabulously for the Lightning, and they went on quite a roll there. And Hobby didn't play well in the first series, and John played that first series. I think it was against the Islanders.
Okay. I thought you were
but right. Hobby was terrific in the finals. There's no doubt about that. He was absolutely terrific. But goaltending, I think, is a little bit better. Our defense is not as good. I think our forwards are just as good with Stamkos in the lineup.
Wow. That's
something
to say. How
about a little bit of an evaluation on the new coach? Because it seems to me that he's put his feet on the ground right from the word go and had his foot on the accelerator.
Well, my personal feeling is if the season were to end today, I think that John Cooper would win the Jack Adams as the best coach in hockey.
Right.
What he's done... There wasn't anybody, including myself, that thought the Lightning could keep up the play that they've played. I thought if they could stay around 500, 50-50 games, win and loss, it would be really good. And to hang around the wild card or a playoff spot would be really good. But they've surpassed that and played very, very well. And, I mean, Coop, along with Bonus, Ricky Bonus, and George Gwazdecki and Stevie Thomas, they've done a masterful job with that team. And also Franz Jean. He's done well with the goalies this year.
Yeah, but Phil, he's done it without his star player. I mean, how many teams in the National Hockey League, or any sport for that matter, can lose their number one player and still play like this?
Well, Pittsburgh did it when Crosby was out for that year, but they had Malkin. Malkin is really almost as good as Crosby, you know. But with Stamkos out, it drops off a little bit. Marty's still there, but it drops off. And I just think it's fabulous what the team has been able to do.
Oh, yeah, I second the motion, Phil. I say, as I said to the guys in the room, you'll be playing hockey in the June this year. It's going to be a conflict between the Storm players going one way, Lightning players going the other way. This is going to be a great playoff run for this hockey team, Phil, and I'm excited for it. And for the Lightning to be Stanley Cup number two in June, be one heck of a parade again.
It would be a wild thing. I'd love to see that happen. You know, you keep your fingers crossed and thinking that they can continue to play like this. I don't see them, unless there's a disaster where they lose eight or nine in a row and the other team wins five or six in a row, I don't see this team missing the playoffs. They're like, 10 or some points ahead, and that's a lot of points to make up in 40 games. Less than 40 games, 34 games.
Right now, they're 27. Well, I didn't count last night's game. They're 27, 15, and 4.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's pretty darn good. And they've lost a couple of games they should have won, but then again, they've won some games they shouldn't have won.
Right.
My pet peeve is the officiating this year in the National Hockey League.
Geez,
Dave Action Jackson, Hassan Frost, and that group.
Action Jackson.
Terrible. And then Hassan Frost and Sergeant O'Rourke, that's F Troop. I wish you could sit on air. That's F Troop. I told that to Maddie, you start cracking up.
Well, I will start calling F Troop. Don't worry. I'll do it. That doesn't bother me.
Well, Phil, if the Lightning are one of the big surprises on the win side, what surprised you more on the other side?
What do you mean, as far as other teams in the league?
Right.
Well, I'm surprised that Ottawa hasn't been as better than they have, although they've started to turn it around. Because I thought our division, when they put them in with Montreal and Ottawa and Boston and Toronto and Montreal, I mean, I thought, wow, those are tough trips, man. Those are real tough trips. And but Ottawa's starting to turn it around. And they're a pretty darn good hockey team. In the West, I'm surprised at how well Anaheim is doing.
Okay.
I mean, I really am. Everybody thought Chicago would be there, and the other team that surprised me out West is Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, second to last year?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they turned it around, and, I mean, Patrick Roy's done a terrific job with that team, and if it were to end today, I would imagine that he would be in the running for the Jack Adams also. But wouldn't that be something if Patrick Roy won Coach of the Year?
Los Angeles was very solid last year, but, I mean, they got 35 wins on the board already. They're far ahead of everybody, I guess, except who else has 35? Let me tell you, nobody, I don't think.
Nobody.
No, Anaheim is the only team that has that. Los Angeles is a good team, and they got Quick back, and that's going to make them even better. The West is a tough division.
Yeah.
But yet, and I see this on my XM radio show, everybody says how much better the East is than the West. Well, the Lightning have played very well against the West and have a winning record against them. And I think it's the only Eastern team that has.
Yes.
Hey, Phil, Leo Haggerty on this end. How you doing tonight?
Hi, Leo. How are you?
Pretty good. Phil, I'm going to ask you a question. And
sure.
You can decline to answer this.
Uh-oh.
I have said that Game 7 went the Lightning went to Boston, that Gary Bettman called those officials up and said, you don't call a penalty.
Well, something happened.
But everybody keeps saying that's an even playing field. But the Lightning were scoring on like a 40% on the power play, where Boston was scoring at 6.
Yeah,
is that the
that's
way of just saying we're not getting Tampa into the Stanley Cup final?
It's the second time that I, since being with the Lightning, that was I was broadcasting in the playoff. One time was in New Jersey, the first time, and it went into overtime, and there wasn't one penalty called.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boston. I can tell you I saw three penalties that the Lightning committed. One was by Ryan Malone, because I remember it distinctly. He tripped the guy. And Boston must have committed three or four, but there were no calls. Now, did Gary Bettman call up the officials and say, don't call penalties? No. That's asinine. But did they all get together maybe by themselves and say, we're not going to call anything tonight unless it's flagrant? That I believe, but I don't understand that situation. And whenever the league, every playoff, they say the same thing. We call the game the same way in the playoffs as we do during the regular season.
Yep.
Well, bull of crap. You know?
Absolutely.
That is not true. I wish they would stop that.
The clutching and the grabbing start in the playoffs, doesn't it, Phil?
Sure, it does. They don't call the same game in the playoffs, and they keep saying they do.
Well,
and
Phil,
I
knew
just,
that they don't call the same game in the National Football League in the playoffs either. It's the same situation. You saw that game in the frozen tundra the other day. Everybody was grabbing everybody, and they didn't call anything.
They didn't call a lot of things. You're right. You're absolutely right. This reminds me of I hope this doesn't offend anybody. Reminds me of Obama. Keep saying no, and everybody will believe you.
One thing I'd like you to touch on before you leave, I know you got that chicken caught on blue almost ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't think people really realize, unless they're hockey fans, and you touched on it a minute ago when you talked about travel. I mean, the Rangers, the Devils, the Knicks, Rangers, the Islanders, Boston. I mean, you're talking about spitting distance between one game and another.
I know.
That's not the case. People don't realize what the travel situation is.
Yep. Well, the travel situation is awful. It really is. But here's the good point. These guys have the charters, and these charters, you know, you get on the plane. I'm not kidding you guys. They've got every bit of food you want, drinks you want, movies. It's really, and they're all first-class seats, big seats, and they get treated pretty darn well on that. But still, it's the wear and tear and the mileage and everything else on your body. It's got to be. It's just got to be. But it's easier to be doing that than to be flying commercial like we used to do.
Right.
Oh, boy, it's a mess. Especially U.S. Air gets stuck in Philadelphia. It's a mess.
Hey, Phil, real quick.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you would bring back to the NHL that they got rid of? Anything in particular?
The instigator rule.
Ooh.
I would bring that back, that I would allow these guys to police themselves a little bit more. And protecting yourself a little bit more. Now, if a guy charges at you and you put your stick up to protect yourself, you get the penalty. I don't know of anybody in the street, anywhere. If somebody's charging you, you're going to protect yourself. Right?
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
But not in the NHL. They don't want you to do that, so consequently, what would be the natural thing you would do? You would turn your back or turn. And when they do, they nail them, and they're about 2-3 feet from the boards, and bingo, they go head first into the boards. And that's when they get hurt. But if the guy had to go through some lumber, he wouldn't be doing that too often.
That's right.
Good point, Phil. Good point.
Phil, go back to your dinner. Thank you for coming on, sir. And
thank you, Tommy. Frankie.
And have a great dinner. See you tomorrow night, Phil.
Okay, take care, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Ciao.
Wow.
Ciao.
Hey, guys, we finally got somebody to go on record and said the referees instigated not calling penalties. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Leo Haggerty, a football guru, welcome aboard, Leo. I'm glad you called to come on with Phil and that, because he comes on, he's cooking his chicken right now and that, and I'm glad he came on and talked about some hockey up there. But he says, I said, Action Jackson and F Troop. Don, Leo, and Frank, he's going to use that on the air.
Yeah, what do I do now?
No, he's going to use that on the air to F Troop.
Yeah, talks about the F Troop. But, hey, Phil Esposito's greatest line was when I think they called Brian Malone for roughing, and he said he hits his wife harder at night.
I remember talking to Phil. He used to do the Ranger games up there, and then when I was living in Cleveland, guys, he had Channel 9 was piped in part of the cable package up there. He said, I got a letter from a Rocky River. What the hell is a Rocky River?
You know, it was interesting that I thought maybe Phil may throw Philadelphia into that mix because the Flyers started out just horrific.
Right.
And have completely got it turned around. There's still some suspect
goalies. Yeah, we talked a little about the Flyers when he first came on. I don't think you were on at the time, Leo.
Yeah,
we started out by talking about the 10-game winning streak being broken on Saturday.
Yes.
Yes.
And,
hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Not much.
Is Toby?
No, this
is Paul.
Paulie Perrin.
Hey, there he is, Paulie. I like to welcome to every Sunday afternoon. He does a great job at the DoubleTree. He makes my Sundays very pleasant. I'm talking back home. I'm talking to none other, a good friend of the show, a good friend of mine, Mr. Paul Perrin, president of Tampadelphia. Paulie, you're talking to Mr. Don Henderson, Leo, Frank, and myself. Welcome aboard. Finally, we got you on.
Yeah, a pleasure to catch up with you guys. And I'm really going to miss those Sundays.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Paul, you're on at the right time because there were some outstanding games over the weekend, and this weekend coming, I think, is the best weekend in football.
Oh, absolutely, guys. And you know what, Tommy, Paul and I went over to the East-West Shrine practice today.
Oh, you did?
And there's an offensive tackle from Belhaven, Mississippi, 6'10", 6'10", 345 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Can he move around at all, Leo?
They call him Tiny.
I was calling him King Dunlap.
Yeah. He was enormous.
Did he mind you old Bob Brown back in the 60s? You know, remember the offensive tackle the Eagles had?
He made
Bob Brown look like a grade schooler. Just his size. I mean, dear God.
What kind of footwork does he have, Leo?
He had very good footwork for a guy that big.
Wow.
In fact, you know, we were watching the offensive line, but, you know, Paulie, he thinks that the Eagles need a safety, so he was down with the DBs, right, Paul?
I was.
I just hopefully we get a good safety up there and that'd be good. But the East-West Shrine game this coming weekend, Leo?
Yeah, Saturday at 4 o'clock. We'll be over there.
Good.
It's on TV. It's on ESPN.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you what's so impressive about this game. I thought there would be about 300 college prospects there. There weren't. Leo nailed it. There's only about 50.
Wow.
But all 50 of these guys are probably going to be taken early in the draft. They're that good. They're just coming out and yeah, so you have a lot of cream of the crop of the college talent right there on the field over in St. Pete, and they're playing Saturday. So we got an inside peek, and Leo's right. There's a lot of beef out there. I mean, he's Nebraska lineman, right, Leo?
Oh,
300 and some pounds.
Well, how are they selected? If there's only 50-something there, what's the designation to how you get on the team or selection?
Don, that's a great question. There's 50 from the east and 50 from the west. Hmm. So there's 100 players there, but they also have 100 going to the Senior Bowl, and you can't compete in both.
Oh, okay.
So you're gonna see 200 players. They'll probably all get drafted in some way, shape, or form in May. By the way, they moved the draft back to May. Did you see that?
Oh, jeez.
No, I didn't see that.
First
May?
Weekend in May, yes.
What are they trying to do? It's April.
I think because Easter is so late.
That's what I was going to say. Hey,
oh,
I'll tell you
God.
What's interesting about the paperwork we got at the event today. It listed the position, the size, and the weight of each individual player. And going in, I told Leo I thought that the linebackers were getting a little bit bigger, you know, because they had to do more things, right? The game was getting faster, but Leo said no, the linebackers are actually getting smaller. When we looked at the stats about these players on the sheet, sure enough, your linebackers now are about 250 pounds. I thought they'd be getting up in the 260 range. But Leo was saying that they're getting down to 220, 230. Right,
well,
you've
got to be able to go side to side a lot faster now. They don't want guys that, you know, can only stop the run. You got to be able to cover a pass. Now you're going into, you know, nickel defenses and defensive backs. I mean, there's all kinds of things now that are way away from what we used to see.
And you know what, guys? Look at the four teams that are playing on Sunday. You got to chase down Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson. You better be able to run on defense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great point. I couldn't say it better, Leo.
Yeah.
But remember when the first East West Shrine Game was played? What stadium? What city? See if I can stump the panel now.
Kezar Stadium in San Francisco.
Yes,
absolutely.
Wow.
And then it got moved to Palo Alto to Stanford Stadium.
Right.
Yes. And then St. Pete took it up, which is good. I mean, Tropicana Field reminds me of the old Yankee Stadium, where those players would come out of the dugout or Cleveland Stadium. I remember for the first St. Pete Bowl, or then the Beefle Brady's Bowl was that. I seen them come out of the dugout, and I said, "Oh my God, reminds me of Cleveland Stadium all over again, the way we come out of the dugout." And like all the old days up there. But Cleveland Stadium, I remember visiting the locker room, guys. My $500 suit was hung up by one rusty nail. That's all my life amazed me.
Well, you know, the one thing I think we have to emphasize here, and I have said this for many, many years, the Shriners do as good a job of taking care of sick people as anybody in the world. I mean, their money goes for the right cause, and they have really, really dedicated themselves to not only putting on a football game, but trying to raise enough money to take care of the people that are really sick.
I agree 100%.
I couldn't agree more. It's a great cause and a great group. That's
right.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the motto of the Shrine is a man has never stooped so low until he touched the hand of a child to help a child.
Wow.
Right.
And every one of the hospitals around the country take in children from all walks of life, and never ask for a dime on the way out.
That's right. Mm. That's exactly right. And they were really the forerunner. We talk a lot about the McDonald houses and some of the other people that do a great, great job. I don't mean to minimize what they do, but the Shriners have done it for an awfully long time and done it very effectively, as you said, Frank.
And the bottom line, fellas, is they're doing it for kids.
That's the main thing.
There's no nobler cause than that.
Right.
Well, you talk about, you know, guys play for the Tampa Bay Lightning, Vinny the Cavalier. Look at what he did for when he's playing around here. When the Flyers played the Lightning in November, it's the first time ever I noticed in our office that a player on the other side was nominated for Mr. Vinny's $50,000 for that Lightning Foundation and that. And Vinny was in tears about that the whole time up there. Because I remember talking to Vinny, and I said, "Vinny, what about getting this, you know, getting this grant for your foundation?" And this is the Sun Sports Paul Kennedy. He quick ran back in the room, says, "Okay, Vinny, wait about this. Wait till Paul gets ready." So he talked about that. So, when they get back, we don't, you know, we realize that. But the average John Doe fan doesn't realize how much money they give to the people and that, whether they be out on TV or charity football game or celebrity golf classic up there. They don't realize that behind the scene work. How hard is that to do?
Yeah.
Well, fellas, who are the leading quarterbacks for the respective sides?
Oh, good question.
The East is being led by Lynch from Northern Illinois.
Ooh.
And there's a a kid from Washington that I was talking to Paul about, the quarterback for Washington, and boy, does he come over the top with it, Paul, doesn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
He looks like Roman Gabriel. How's that for a flashback?
Oh, my God,
wow.
You're kidding.
I hope he can move around better than Roman could.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Keith Price. He wears number 17. He's 6'1", 202.
Wow. Yeah, remember Roman's getting the pocket. He used to get sacked up there thanks to Jim Skaggs and Dick Carter.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't the most mobile quarterback in the world, that's for sure.
Yeah, but he was Colossus of Rhodes in the pocket, though. You had to hit him with a sledgehammer and knock him down.
No question.
Just
well, when McCormick was coaching Eagles when he brought him in from California, you know, he was in the tail end of his career at that time, and he just couldn't move at all. And if his offensive line didn't, you know, give him a little support, it was a long day.
Yeah. But Don, used to call that thing used to come the Fire High Gang, right?
Yes. Good pull, Tommy. Good pull.
This
fire
was fire
gang.
Was
Carmichael.
Jackson.
Jackson. Kenny Jackson.
Who was the tight end pro? No, it was what's the guy
Charlie
from Southern
Young.
California?
Charlie Young.
Right.
Charlie Young, the Fire High
Gang. So I remember because then the defense is called Gang Green. I remember that because every time I'm
right.
at the Eagle fan club, someone came Gang Green, and the old Eagle fans, they look at me, start smiling. You know, Stats and Joe and Frank, they start smiling. But the younger fans, what is that?
and Tommy's good about it. He says it's a disease, dummy. Gang Green.
But I just disappoint our Eagles up there.
If you guys are ever looking for a good local interview, there's a kid who's going to play in a game this weekend out of South Florida. His name is D.D. Lattimore. He's a linebacker. He's 6'1", 237. So he might be an interesting interview after the game, you know, from a linebacker's perspective. And he might be one of the kids that are going forward in the draft, too. So he might give you some really, really good points to think about.
Anybody from Ohio there, Paul?
Pardon, Tom?
Anybody from Ohio?
You know,
Ohio?
I think there's one from Ohio University, Tommy, but
wow.
he's hurt.
Okay.
But I think
okay.
he's hurt.
Here's Ohio INJ, but that's injured.
Right,
and
injured,
his name
injured,
is,
yeah.
His name
right,
is Travis Carroll. He's a cornerback.
Okay.
He's right there. And that's – we got a kid out of Toledo that looked fairly good. His name
okay,
is Jack Curley.
Okay, I've seen the roster out of Toledo. Yes, the guy – I mean, Toledo's 6'5", Toledo 300. Bowling. Right.
He's
you know,
a center,
Toledo.
An offensive center. Huh?
Mm.
In fact,
yeah, Leo
six,
and I talked about
6'5",
I
think
about
he maybe. Yeah, and we talked about it, and I said he may be even too tall to be a center. They may have to move him to guard.
Wow.
Well,
interestingly
enough,
there's 6'5" centers.
There's an offensive tackle right next to him at 6'7", and another one at 6'6". So you're right, he's only an inch off.
Yeah, and guess where they're from? Wisconsin and Nebraska, right, Paul?
Yeah.
What
yeah, one's out of
there?
Youngstown State. One's out of Youngstown State, one's out of Bloomsburg, and here's the guy from Belhaven that you talked about at 6'10". So.
Well, people
who's
don't realize it's
Bloomsburg?
Bloomsburg, and yeah, you talked about Toledo a second ago. A lot of great players come out of these mid-conferences that, you know, don't get a lot of national recognition until they either get to a camp or get to a team. But there are a lot of great players that come out of very small areas.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And a lot of them spend 4 years in college. That's the big thing.
Oh, yeah. Most all spend 4 years in college.
Yeah. There you go, guys. I got one for you. Your Cleveland Browns, Dino Hall, went to Glassboro State.
No, Tommy.
Was
no longer Glassboro State.
Well, back then it was.
Yes, you know
back then
now?
It was.
Yeah.
Rowan University.
Oh.
Hey, how about Billy White Shoes Johnson? Where do you think he came from?
I can tell you exactly where he came from. PMC, because I had to cover it. And if you believe that, I got some. Yep, the old PMC Widener.
Yes.
and I had to cover him. And you want to guess how good a job I did?
Excellent.
No. plays in, I got a great look at the back of his jersey. It was 14-0 quick.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
the brother, the brother could run.
Wow. Wow.
I'm sorry to hear about that, Leo. But, Leo, everybody, what's your takes about these games coming up this weekend, San Francisco, Seattle, and here it is, Captain Happy goes out to Denver right now. I mean, what you guys think about this?
Don, you want to go first on this one?
Well, you know, I just hate to see, and all the papers, really, actually, they closed out the games last week, you know, talking about the quarterback situation. This is not a game between two quarterbacks. I mean, they're both great quarterbacks. That doesn't...
Right.
Eli's brother's a great quarterback. Eli's a quarterback. Every time they play, it's this guy against this guy. That's not the way it is. I mean, you got two great teams going against each other with two great quarterbacks. And the talent of the teams, whether it's special teams, whether it's defense, whether it's defensive second, that's going to win the game. I mean, it's not just going to be, you know, what Brady does or what Manning does. And I'm looking to the special teams to make a big difference in this game. And I'm going to go with Brady, not because he's won more times against Manning, but I don't go against that. I just don't go against Belichick. And I think he'll come up with a special teams play. Something will happen that he'll get seven maybe unnecessary points there, or unexpected, I should say. So I'm going to go with Captain Happy.
I'm not going Captain
All right,
Happy,
let me,
Denver.
My turn, okay? If you notice all these sports stations that are running, you know, Brady's 10-4 against Manning. Every time Brady has beaten Manning, he's wearing a blue jersey. That means they're the home team. That means they're the better team. Every time Manning's beaten Brady, he's got a colored jersey on, which means they were the better team.
But, Leo, also, let me just interrupt for a second to say, when you say that, those games are past history. You know, this stuff of whether we beat them 8 or 10, that doesn't mean a thing for this Sunday. You know,
Donnie, you're stealing my thunder. Keep going. Roll. The most ridiculous stat ever put out was how a great quarterback went against another great quarterback.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. The game is going to be played, and it's a totally different ballgame. I'm picking Denver only because they're at home.
Have a good time. Give me a kiss.
I think you're right about that, Leo, when you think about it. Cause
Tommy,
I'm
you're
picking...
going for a Paulie. Who, let's get a new voice in on this. What do you think?
I think Denver, San Francisco.
Uh-oh.
Short and sweet.
Uh-oh. All right. What's Frank going to pick now?
Frank's going to pick the Broncos. I picked Baltimore last year. I can't pick them this year because they ain't in it.
And I'll tell you what, I don't see San Francisco going up and beating Seattle in Seattle. I got to go with the chalk on both of them, both home teams, Seattle and Denver in the Super Bowl, in the snow.
I'm going to go with San Francisco because I've been wacky all year. I'm on my diet ginger ale and I'm drinking right now. I'm so whacked out. San Francisco for me.
Well, I'll tell you, I think this is a coach's game. I'm not a big Carroll fan, to be honest with you, even though they're playing at home and, you know, they seem to be almost impossible to beat in that environment with that noise. But I'm going to go San Francisco as well. I like the coaching staff of the 49ers. I like their overall play. I think their offensive line. I love their offensive line. And I'm going to go with San Francisco. I think they can stop Seattle.
Okay. I think you're right. But Don and everybody, you know, if you're not a football fan, right, this is the best weekend to go to Disney World, Universal, Sea World. Because why? The host, the man of the house, wants to watch the football game. And this is we always pick this weekend to go to Universal or Disney World. Because no one is going to be there because everybody's watching the football game. So this is the last week to go to Disney World. We won't be so crowded over there.
Well, I'll tell you what I think would be a great – Leo can start because, you know, he's been down the line, as we all have television-wise. You know, when the Cincinnati Bengals in San Diego could pull $19 million,
right.
I is this going to be the biggest with Manning and Brady going against each other and the two teams and the two coaches? Is this going to be the biggest television audience we've seen for league championship games ever?
You know what, guys? If it isn't, it's going to be the other game. See, I think both games are going to surpass anything we've seen. Because you've got marquee players, you've got marquee coaches, and you've got teams that don't like each other. That's the best part.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
another big factor is going to be the weather across the country. I mean, if it stays cold and bitter throughout most of the U.S., a lot of people are just going to be home, and what are you going to do?
That's exactly right. Not very many people brought that in that San Diego Cincinnati game. One of the big reasons they had a 19 was because everybody was snowed in the Northeast, all the way from
yep.
Chicago to Boston.
Right.
You couldn't move. All you could do is go in your living room, turn TV on, and watch a game.
Well, I could right. tell you another thing you could do, but you probably couldn't do it either.
Oh, that you're talking about yourself now.
No, I'm talking about Doug and the cat.
Oh, no.
Hey, by the way, yeah, by the way, Doug had a great story, I'd say, last week. He said him and the cat were going to Vegas. That could be a great show, Doug and the Cat House.
Oh, no. He'll be coming on.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm really looking forward to the games this weekend. I think this, I said in the beginning, I think this is the best weekend of pro football, because 9 times out of 10 you have the best teams playing. You know, the best
right.
of the best, and the one that gets to the Super Bowl or the two that get to the Super Bowl are normally the two best teams from the respective conferences. So I think this weekend is great. The Super Bowl, I'm not as hyped up about the Super Bowl normally. Maybe this year I will be, but I think this weekend is my weekend.
Can I just disagree with you on one small point?
Uh-oh.
No.
I agree with him. But I think it's more the two teams that are playing the best right now. They're not necessarily the best teams during the year, but they're the two teams that are playing the best at the time. Would you agree?
Well, I'd say yes, but which team is not playing? Which team did not play well during the year? I mean, San Francisco had a lull in the mid-season when they got a couple players hurt, but they're all back. As far as Seattle is concerned, I mean, you know, they started off like gangbusters and never really slowed up. They lost a couple of games, but, you know, anybody's going to lose a couple of games. And I give Belichick all the credit in the world for being able to, you know, manufacture a roster the way he does to come on and play the way he does. So you've got to be hot at this time of the year, but at the same time, the teams that are there are winners.
Yeah, and it's totally different than hockey. You're not getting in unless you got a hot goaltender. You
right.
can have a hot quarterback and not get in. You got to be playing well as a team.
And you can have a lousy quarterback and win. Look at Joe Capp. Look what you hit. There are a lot of guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Look what happened to Tampa a few years. You don't think he was a great quarterback, but he did. But the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl.
Trent Dilfer, great example.
Trent Dilfer is another one.
Brad Johnson,
I mean, there's a lot of
just enough to win.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's, you know, congratulations goes out to Mike Glennon, makes the first team pro football writers up there. But Leo, I was watching Glennon in the last couple games. And he reminds me of a Brad Johnson. You just get the job done, and what Lovey's going to do to this Tampa 2 defense is going to make this defense back to respectability again.
Well, you know what, guys? I'm going to take it to a different level. When you look at him, what's the difference between him and Nick Foles physically? Not
Nothing.
A lot, is there?
No.
No.
And Jeff Tedford talked today at the coaches' meeting with the media, he said, we got to get speed on this team. And that's the big thing they're looking for is speed.
Because,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, here's another thing, guys. Michael Bettis with Seattle, LeGarrette Blount, and the team to leave for New England up there. There we go. There's something that the guys, the Buccaneers, led away. What did the Blount do last week? 160 yards, by 4 touchdowns, all Patriot records. And the Patriot had those great runners, Gino Cappelletti and all those going back to the glory years of the Patriots. Look at LeGarrette Blount. Look at Michael Bennett, what he's going to do.
Yeah, but remember, Tommy, they said that you know, New England couldn't run the ball.
Exactly, yes.
They ran it pretty well last week, you're right. Four touchdowns and what, 170 yards or something like that?
Right, Garrett Blunt, four touchdowns off of there. And here it is, Michael Bennett over Seattle will be in Kaepernick's face the whole time up there and that. So there's the old, Buccaneers, the coach Shiano, let these guys get away. And look what they do. They could win a Super Bowl ring right now.
Well, you can say that, Tommy, but let me ask Leo this because he covers the draft closer than I do, no question about that. And, the Buccaneers picked up a running back off the scrap heap, became the player of the week. I mean, running backs you can get. Quarterbacks you can't get. You can't get offensive left tackles. But you can get linebackers, you can get running backs, you can get a bunch of things, but you can't get these special position players. They're not there.
Don, you're exactly right. In fact, Paul asked me today on offense, what are you looking for? I said, you're looking for three things. A left tackle, a number one wide receiver that can stretch the field, and a quarterback.
Yep.
Everything else you can fill in. And on defense, you need a pass rusher off the edge, you need a linebacker as mean as sin, and you need a cover corner.
And you're in business.
Yeah.
That's worked.
Yeah. That makes up
your
defense.
That formula has worked really well in a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm. It's the same. Guys, like same thing in baseball. Catcher, shortstop, second base, center field.
I'll throw one other player in there, Leo and Paulie, and maybe you'd comment on that. I don't think he can win without a first-class center. I think he's got to make the calls for you, and he's got to make the plays. If you don't have a first-class center, now I don't put him with the left tackle, I don't put him with the quarterback, but I think in the scheme of things, you got to have a good center.
Well,
Donnie, it's
not that you have to have a good center. You got to have a center that goes out there 16 games or
right.
17 games.
Yeah.
If you lose your center, it's like losing your goalie.
Yep.
It's a problem because he's the guy that's captaining that group.
Yep, exactly. He's your offensive captain. Look at if you watch a football game, guys, I mean, we watched for all those years, who's calling out the offensive signals for blocking assignments? The center. The center knows the play. He's got to center the ball.
Well, the biggest problem you have right off the bat is when you lose your center. Now you're going to take one of your guards and you're going to move him into center.
Right.
Then you're going to bring somebody else in to play guard. Now all of a sudden you're in a situation where you got an entirely new guy centering the ball, calling the signals, and on his right side or left side, he's got a brand new second position player. So it makes all the difference in the world.
And you know what, guys? Let's go back to when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl and about 3 or 4 years before. And that four-year span, remember when they played the Eagles up in the Vet? And when the Eagles would get the Bucs in third and long, Jimmy Johnson would sub eight guys to bring in. You know how many the Bucs subbed when it was third and long? One.
Two.
One guy. They brought in a corner and took out a linebacker. They had 10 guys that played every down. You have no idea the continuity that gives you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you up there because it's a memory that the late Jimmy Johnson used to kill the Buccaneers of rushing the quarterback and outs like that. But, Leo and everybody, who thinks you think Coach Dungy, John Lynch, and Derek Brooks should get in the Hall of Fame right now? We're going to get Ira Kaufman on next. We have a talk about this.
I think the toughest one I was going to have to get in is Dungy. And fellas, don't call me a racist on this, but if Tony Dungy was white, would he even be nominated?
No, I think he would. Look at his background. Leo won a Super Bowl. He turned a dismal Tampa Bay team into a winner, and that hasn't happened since John McKay days, and it's been 20 years of dismal football for the Bucs. And what Tony Dungy did down here, he turned a dismal franchise into winners, like Dick Vermeil did in Philadelphia.
And you know
but
what,
Dick Vermeil,
Tommy? I think that's how Ira approaches this.
Right.
When he does, don't say that he's the first black coach to win the Super Bowl.
Who cares?
He turned the yucks into the Bucs.
Exactly.
And I think that's huge. But I think Brooks is a shoe-in. I'll tell you the guy I don't think's getting in, and that's Michael Strahan. I think he gets left out of.
I think he'll be probably talking to Kelly a lot to get me in on his TV show.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the truth, Michael Strahan. You know, look at the longevity. Look at the individual records he has. I mean, how can Michael Strahan not be a Hall of Famer?
Well, you know what, Don? Let me ask you this. When have you heard someone say, we're waiting for the next Michael Strahan to come along? Never hear that. Everybody
well, not down here. Not down here you don't, but you hear it
up in New York.
You hear a lot in New York about Michael Strahan. And
you don't hear it up there either.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
You know, Don, we also had a lot of players in Philadelphia that were never really highly regarded beyond our area. So
that's true.
You know, their hometown heroes is what they are, but you get them in another area code, and it goes away.
Well, and I think the biggest problem, and Don and Paul and Tommy, chime in on this. The way he got that record-breaking sack where Brett Favre just went down.
You're right. That was a fake. That was a fake.
Exactly. And
we had a broadcast from your car. I swear, everything that we're covering now, we covered this afternoon.
Yeah, we should. I think he's doing deja vu again, you know?
Yeah. But I asked Leo a question today, and the question is this. I'll put it to you guys, too. All right. You're a brand-new coach in the NFL, brand-new. You have a little bit of head coaching experience in college, and now you're lucky enough to land in a catbird seat, you know, with a real NFL team. And you know what? You're not a real hard worker. You're not a real stats and feeds guy. So you're approaching the draft. Now, you got two ways to do this. One is to go through all the meetings, all the camps, the combines, stats, speeds, workouts, and everything else, right? Or what you do is you just go to a website, see the guys that are out there, and you say, okay, half an hour, I'm done. These are my names. And you go into the draft like that. The guy that's totally unprepared, will he have the same success as the guy who really spent many hours preparing for it? What do you guys think?
Well, my only answer to that question is that look at the number of players. I don't care just about first-round players. Look at the number of players who are looked at all year and sometimes for 2 or 3 years in college that never make it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is a very, very difficult business, whether it's baseball or football or basketball, to pick the guy that has the heart, that has the dedication to play the game hard enough to win at that level. So, I don't think you can just look at stats and pick players and hope you're going to. But I also don't think you're foolish enough to say, you know, our scouts have looked at these guys and these are the guys we're going to pick. And how many of them make it? Not very many.
That's right.
You know what, Don? What I told Paul on the way home was, the key is you got to be 2 for 3. And he looked at me, what do you mean? I said, in your first 3 picks, 2 of those guys got to make it. Now, you're going to hit a bummer every now and then with the first rounder. But what you can't do is miss on a first and a second or a first and a third each year. That is what hurts you.
Well, the guys that are most successful, you know, the guys that pick, not only everybody can name the first picks, but the guys that, you know, 4, 5, and 6, they're the rounds you want to get guys that are really going to play.
Yeah, right. Donnie, let's be honest. If you're picking them in the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round, the reason you're picking them there is you don't think they can start for you. They're going to be a guy who's going to be a depth player. And again, Rondae Barber is a perfect example. They picked Rondae Barber as a guy who was going to be a depth player for him, a backup corner. Look what happened. He's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame. Tom Brady, 32 teams passed on him 6 times. Okay? You know, don't think that New England's the smartest team in the world. Let's wait for 6th round to take Tom Brady. Hey, somebody just said, hey, Brady's still there. Let's take him.
Well, let's throw this question out for everybody to answer, you know, because I don't want to give my opinion, but how about Captain Football here, Mizell? He's in the draft. So, and all the experts are now saying, well, he's going to be 2, 3, 4, maybe down as low as 5. Where do you think Mizell fits into Captain Football? Where do you think he fits into the draft?
Can I answer that one first, guys?
Sure.
I think if he gets by the Minnesota Vikings, they should be shot. Because if this guy isn't the second coming of Fran Tarkington, I don't know what is. Now, Tommy, you know Troy Odegaard, who's joined us on the show. He and I vehemently disagree on this. He said, Johnny Manziel will never take him to a Super Bowl. I said, think of how Ziggy Wurtz is thinking. He doesn't want Super Bowls. He wants home playoff games. If Johnny Manziel is drafted by the Vikings, season tickets will go through the roof. They'll get a home playoff game. Guess what? If the San Francisco 49ers win and go to the Super Bowl, you know how much money they made for the owner this year? Squat. Zero. Jeffrey Lurie made $35 million because he had a home game. But to answer your question, I think that Manziel is going to go no lower than the Minnesota Vikings. And, fellas, I got to run. I'm at Pet Boys. I got to pick up my wife's car. You know how that is.
Oh, God bless you, Leo. Tell the missus we said hello.
All right, Paulie, what do you think?
Go to Pet Boys. That's where you get your car done. Take care.
All righty. Thank you.
Leo, do you need a ride home?
Manny Moe and Jack are from West Philly, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're from West Philly.
49th and Market.
Allegheny Avenue, guys.
That's right. Yes, I remember that. You know, getting back to Leo's question, I think if you're a head coach your first year, you go to every compound, every combine, every all-star game, and you make notes about when you're watching the players and you circle them down. That's the old way, old-timer scouting. That's why the late Hank Stram, the guy, the San Diego Charger, old-time head coach, was excellent about that. And even Dick Vermeil, I mean, Blanton Cowher for the old Cleveland Browns did the same thing. They went to these compounds and scouted the players and looked at these players to see how good they really were firsthand and personal. Then you do the interview with these guys.
Bally?
Yeah, you look at the mechanics, and then you try to get inside their head a little bit about their heart and their feel for the game, you know, their competitiveness and all that, and all those intangibles. Sometimes that's just a pretty good story, because by the second or third year in the league, they're a different person than they were before they came in.
Let's say that Leo's on a positive track, and you're the 8th, 9th, 10th, say you're the New York Jets. How much would you give to move up to get him? What would you do? What's it worth? It's obviously not going to be worth what the Dallas Cowboys did, but let's say, or not the Dallas Cowboys, when Ditka did it with New Orleans. But, what are you going to give? What are you going to, everybody say, well, we'll move up, because he's going to sell tickets, just like Leo said. What would you give? How many picks?
Well, I think the answer to that depends on what kind of pressure the owner is putting on you to accomplish a certain goal. And that information is usually held between the owner and the head coach, I guess, or the GM and the head coach. One year they want to go pretty far. Another year they may have a slightly different twist or a different angle on it.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm guessing. I'm a business guy, right, not an NFL scout. But the thing is that because we're so steeped in this, all of us, year after year after year after year, you get to learn things on the inside. And you know, owners have pressures. I wonder what kind of pressure Jerry Jones is under right now, because he's not making any playoff bucks. And he's got that colossal debt down there in Dallas with that stadium. Same thing with some other guys, too. So we don't know.
Exactly. I got to follow up with that point right there. I would look at the player who's best available out there, if you were, say, the Minnesota Vikings, right? And if you wanted somebody to fill the stadium, you want a franchise quarterback, and you draft that guy. Like Leo said, the quarterback, center, left tackle, the left defensive end, a middle linebacker, and the safety, your key for a football team. And also a kicker, too. I should ask Leo, what about the Ray Guy? Might get in an NFL Hall of Fame. I mean, he has no punter in a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but you have to have everything else. I mean, I agree with you, Tommy. You got to have a punter. You got to have a guy who can kick off. But at the same time, if you're in the middle of the pack or lower, you can't take much of a chance on taking a great punter that's going to turn out to be Ray Guy. You got to get a player that's going to got to come in and help your program for a long time. I don't, listen, I'm a Ray Guy fan, but no way I'm picking him in the first round if I'm, you know, in the middle of the pack as far as wins and losses are concerned on the season. But, you know, I'm of a different opinion. I agree with what Leo said in the beginning, that he better be Fran Tarkington. But he better be Fran Tarkington because
right.
I don't believe he's 6'1", number one. I don't think he's that big. And
right.
and number two, I'm not convinced that he's going to come into the National Football League and, you know, run the football and run all around like he did, you know, in college football. I don't think that's going to happen. So he would not be somebody that I would make a gigantic move to get up, especially if I were a team that had, you know, if I were the Giants or the Jets or, you know, teams that sell out all the time, 49ers. Yeah, if I were in that category, no way I'd take him in the first, you know, in the first five or six or seven picks of the draft, because I'm not convinced that he's going to be the kind of player in the pro football that he is in college football. And also, I don't want to take a chance on his character. I mean, he better be Bobby Lane. Forget about Fran Tarkington. He better be better than Bobby Lane because
right.
he's going to knock Bobby Lane out of the bars.
Definitely. Well, guys, I got a question for you. Didn't Oakland draft the right guy number one when he got drafted
by the
Raiders?
I think they did.
And now Davidson, he needed a punter. You know, that was the first time he got drafted by a team since, you know, Pete Golgar got drafted by the Buffalo Bills back in the AFL days up there.
Well, he might have taken his place kicker, too.
Right. Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, the first we know from Ray Guy drafted as a punter for the Raiders out there. And I remember when they took a punter, so why are you taking a punter? And the coach at the time at the Raiders said, we need special teams to get this thing going. We better off we get special teams going here.
Yeah.
And that's what they said. The kicking's part of the special teams.
Don't forget, they were a pretty good football team when they took them, though. That's not like the Oakland Raiders of today.
No. The moniker, it's Faber, Castor.
But,
yes.
You know, going back to Don's point about the quarterbacks, what was it, 2004 or 2005, all those quarterbacks came out, and a lot of them went belly up and bust in the first two or three years.
Right, yeah.
And even the guy recently that Oakland drafted a few years back, it was supposed to be the next great coming, and he just crashed and burned as well, too. Look at RG3. He's not doing so well.
No.
So I realize that a lot depends on the team around you and the kind of game the coach calls, but starting at the first square about, you know, is he going to be a really, really terrific franchise quarterback? You think that going in, but you know what? Until they're out there, you don't know. And I think the evidence is out there really to support Don's position on it pretty well. And the right guy thing, Tommy, every once in a blue moon, you get that occasional guy that's really got all the right stuff to excel at that one position, you know? And, boy, right guy really was that glaring example, you know? But I don't know if too many people that have pulled the kicker or punter in the first round.
No.
So Ray had to be the real exception on that.
Well, he involves
a
football writer. Yes, sir.
We have a guest on with us, a lady friend of yours who has a very important job helping our troops. And since we dedicate all these programs to the men and women of the armed forces, let's bring her in now.
I'd like to welcome Susan.
Yes, excuse myself. As a veteran, I want to thank her for showing up, and I'm going to say my goodnight to you guys.
Okay, Paulie.
Okay, take care, Paulie.
Always great to have you on, sir.
Care.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome Susan to the program. Susan, you're talking to Philadelphia sports legend Don Henderson. You talk to Franco legend producer. Welcome aboard, and tell everybody about what you're doing for the USO.
Well, I'm the secretary of the board of directors. I'm also a founding member of USO Tampa Bay, and we recently have grown so much that we just changed our name to USO Central Florida, coast to coast. So we have the USO at Tampa International Airport, and we also have the USO Day Room that will be opening in March of 2014. It's already built out. We're just waiting for the occupancy to assist our wounded spinal cord and brain trauma active duty members that have been injured in war. And a lot of people think the VA hospital is for those that are retired or out of the military, but we have a lot of active duty there. And
Susan, it's interesting you should say that because there's a video going around right now, an email video, of which I had never seen before, which is a combination of all the trips that Bob Hope made over the years to the veterans and overseas during the war and all the rest. And, it really is a great, great video that it's on YouTube, and you can pick it up. And I'll tell you, you can't believe the things that he did to honor the veterans and take care of the USO is just unbelievable.
Well, thank you for that. We continue to have so many different programs, things that Bob Hope wouldn't even have thought of. One of our third things that we're working on is opening up a USO at Orlando International Airport, and this takes care of our military members when they're traveling, either for vacation or when they're PCSing, because basically when the military move, they're homeless, and people don't think about it that way. But I know when I've traveled around the world that sometimes all I had was in my suitcase, and sometimes my suitcase was lost in an airplane somewhere. So it's really important to assist our military as they travel.
And so I know all these guys love the National Football League and they love sports in general up there. So and I know you're a sports fan. Who are you picking to win the games this week?
Are we? What kind of sports are we talking? Football?
Football, yes.
I'm sorry, I don't know anything about sports.
Well, I'm sorry.
Actually, the Tampa. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know that the military loves sports.
Right.
So I make sure that they get as many free tickets or great games. So I hate to say it, I'm one of these ladies that for the first time I ever went to a hockey game was the Tampa Bay Lightning, and actually my husband was awarded the community
That's
hero
right.
for opening the USO. And so I'm sorry I don't know anything about sports, so I hate to.
Well,
you're even
up with Tommy.
Yeah.
And he goes every night.
I'm sorry about that. I just like to take care of the military and give them a place to live. One of the things I shared a little bit with Tommy was that we know that we have anywhere from 22 to 23 veterans that commit suicide a day. And that's... I'm a little emotional about that.
It's unacceptable. You're exactly
yeah,
right.
Sure.
Give you a chance
yes,
to
sure.
catch your breath, but you're exactly yeah. right. It's unacceptable that something like that could happen after, you know, dedicating whatever number of years and
yeah.
service to the country that it would come
yes.
down to that.
Well, when I decided instead of just being upset about it, just like USO, we do something. And one of the things we do is we provide comfort crew kits to the children who have a family member who is deployed or a family member who has visible or invisible injuries. And the invisible injuries could be brain trauma or it could be PTSD. And then we also provide kits for the children of family members that have lost their loved ones in the war.
Well, I know one thing, Sue. You do a great job about that. Just to get these guys home, get them back to a normal lifestyle. And what better way to go to normal lifestyle, three hours of entertainment at a football game or baseball game
Absolutely.
Or even a hockey game, get them back into normal life so they can yell and yell at the referees like I usually do.
it is fun. It's good release for them.
I'll give you
and
a little.
And the girls, too. A lot of us, our girls, my daughter went to the invasion forces in Iraq, and her husband was also... has gone several times to Afghanistan, and he's had brain trauma. So it's very important that we thank mm-hmm. our military family members and their families for the sacrifices that they've made.
Well, I'm sorry that Roger Hendler's not all with us tonight, too, because Roger, he is so dedicated to
yes.
the armed forces and what's happened and is happening in the present time, and I'm just sorry he's not. Usually he's on with us down in Atlanta, but he's not with us tonight so far, and I'm sorry he's not here because he would certainly add a very, very interesting comment or two to our show.
Well, if you invite us back next time, we have
sure.
about 20 board members. I would love to, you know, have one of them, especially
sure.
Tweet Coleman. She's a flyer,
sure.
and she's the one who's spearheading the GOA initiative for Orlando. And it would be great to have her talk. She just has a lot of things to share. So we have a lot of
sure.
military members, family members, women, men, and young people that are involved in this initiative.
Well, when we get off the air, Frank, why don't you put her on hold for a second and get the information from her, and we'll certainly do everything we can to have her on with us.
Thank you for having me tonight.
So I know one thing. Every time I see a man in uniform, also a policeman or a serviceman, I say one thing, a couple things. Thank you for service. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for serving our city. And more people would say that. We never have a tragedy that we had a couple of days ago, going to a theater in the Wesley Chapel, which is outrageous.
Yeah,
well, Tommy, you know, I had served in the service, and I was in Vietnam. I was the war that everybody hated when we came back. One of the things that I love the USO when we came back through San Francisco, that was the first place that handed us a cup of coffee. A telephone to call our parents to let them know we're back in the country, and to give us a nice place to stay for a few hours while we were changing our flight. That was a time where it wasn't really the greatest idea to be in the service because of the times that were going on, and when we came home, in fact, I can remember watching one of my buddies get spit on at the airport, which I took the guy down right afterwards.
Good.
At least I didn't have to go to the brig for it, but I was chastised. But I'm not going to let that happen. And Sue, just so you'll know, prior to your coming on, the show has always made a donation to. I'm blanking out now. The Wounded Warriors Project. In fact, we helped Dr. Ron Repesee and his foundation run a golf tournament down here for the Wounded Warriors, and we'll see if we can't get them to take a look at your program and see if we can't get something up there for you.
Oh, that would be great. We'd appreciate that so much. Thank you, especially since we now have three centers. And we're already, I'm with the Comfort Crew kits. I'm sending them across Central Florida, Patrick Air Force Base. I'm always in touch with MacDill, making sure we have so many of these kits that are available to our children ages 6 to 12 that we are on back order at USO headquarters. And every kit runs $40, and USO headquarters provides them totally free of charge.
Mm-hmm. Terrific.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Sue, I told you when I talked to Monday, the show works miracles.
It does.
I appreciate it. Did not lie at all?
No, you did not. It's a real pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get you on next week to talk about with the Orlando thing up there and that. So be looking forward to talk to you next week again. So it'll be great.
Well, excellent. Well, we have a board meeting on Sunday in Orlando, and on Monday we have our community meeting, the initiative meeting will also be in Orlando. And so we're having such a good time that we always are inviting volunteers to join us, to have a good time, to volunteer at the centers, or just to help us build the centers across Central Florida.
Well, as I say, have Frank give him any information when we're finished, and I know that he'll make arrangements to have whomever it is that you'd like to have join us for a bit of time here on the show. We really enjoy it.
Oh, well, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Sue, thank you so much, and let's go Lightning tomorrow night. Got to beat the Islanders.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Sue. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Thank you. Don, isn't that something else? Any way we can be a help to this program? I mean, I just talked to Sue. She called me up and bought some Lightning tickets. We got talking. She's part of the USO. And I said, well, we dedicate these shows to the soldiers serving their country. So, Sue, you want to come on? And she came on. And it was just awesome having her come on like that.
Well, it's a great opportunity for her to talk a little bit about so many people really don't have that much individual contact with the USO. And to hear her speak about it and talk about her board and to talk about the things that they're doing, it's, I think, very informative to the listener. So I think you made a great move, Tommy, in having him join us.
Oh, thank you, sir. I just trying to think, reach out to help out our soldiers or kids or anything to help out this human race up there, anything we can help out up there, it'd be great to do up there and that. So, especially one player's not helping out his baseball team. We talked about earlier, Alex Rodriguez, stay out of Tampa, please.
Well, you know, it's a subject that's been beat to death, and it seems like every time you think it's over, it's not over.
It comes back up again.
Yeah, it really does, and it's a shame because the only good part about it is that it's the baseball season's not in operation right now, and it's the off season, and so it's not really interrupting every day the play of the teams that are involved in the competition. So, you know, we could talk about A-Rod until our until we dry up, but. I thought it was going to be all over on Saturday. I thought when they made the ruling that he was going to take the 164 days, that was going to be the end. But as the case with A-Rod, it's never the end. He's always going somewhere else. And I don't think he has a chance in the world to win. I think that he's gotten every opportunity with the arbitrator, with the Players Association, with the owners. You know, I just think that, the one thing I would add to that is, and I haven't heard anything yet about from the Yankees, you know, he's supposedly able to go to spring training with the Yankees. He can't play any regular season games, but he can go to spring training. Well, you know, I just think that would be a total mistake, taking him to spring training. All you'd be doing then is creating just a lot of controversy for no reason. I don't know what the Yankees are going to do. I have no idea, no inside information. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck about it and say I know this or that. I just know that confrontations like that you don't need. And you're trying to get your team ready to start the season. And you don't have to look up every day at spring training and see A-Rod there and the press all around him, getting comments and everything else. But I don't know if the Yankees can keep him out of spring training. I will just have to see what they decide to do.
I think
the guy
sources...
you just talked about earlier, Don, has just arrived a day late and a program short.
Well, Roger is with us. Well, you know what it is? You know what it is, Frank? It's like everything else. He comes in after the war is over.
Oh, no. I like to walk around with
the story of
Roger
my life. The story of my life. No, I'll tell you, Don, I just got on, and I agree with you 100%, and if you listen to the national media, they're all over A-Rod. But, it just shows his lack of class, he's suing Major League Baseball, the Players Association, he's going to go to spring training. I mean, what a joke this guy is.
Roger, how can the Yankees allow him to come to spring training? I mean, all you're doing is totally disrupting the Yankee organization. I mean, to me, there's absolutely no sense in having him over there at Steinbrenner Field every day and having all the press coming down and talking to him and him giving the same spiel he's been giving now for, the last 18 months.
Right.
And Joe Girardi, he can't put up with that every day.
No. Well, I don't know what they can do. If he's forcing the issue... You know, you would think that he'd have some class, but this guy has none. It's disgraceful.
I agree with you. He should be playing wiffle ball in Miami with his son. But it's going to be a mess in Heinz Field. Imagine all the media is going to be up there. How the Yankees are going to try to have a spring training with A-Rod up there. And it's going to be a total circus. Thank God, Roger, Frank, and Don. I know you have to go to Heinz Avenue or at Dale Mabry this year to watch that fiasco.
Well, I think the one thing I would say is that I don't know what the rules of baseball are, and I haven't read anything about it. But, I mean, for him to lay out a year and not be able to play and then come back at 39, 40 years of age is going to be awfully difficult. I don't know if he can play in Japan or he can't play. But to me, the best thing would be to go to Japan, play over there for a year, and get out of the limelight in the United States and out of the papers every day, and that way keep his baseball rhythm intact as best he can, and then hope he can come back and play. Because he's not going to give up that other $25 million. He's giving up $24 million this year, and he's not going to give up that other $25 million for the last year of his contract. You can bet on that.
The thing about that, if he goes to Japan, it'd be less aggravation from the Yankees. you know, in the garage, I was telling Don and Frank this earlier, this could be like a shoeless Joe Jackson situation with the Chicago Black Sox. That movie, it's the same scenario right there.
No, you're right, Tom.
But yeah. Here's another interesting thought, guys. Alex Rodriguez said he took steroids. Isn't that something? In Tampa, he's come back to the same spot where he said, I tested steroids for spring training. Think about it.
Yeah.
Complete circle up there. That's going to be a mess for media up there. I don't see how.
I mean, I'm just looking at it from a standpoint of Joe Girardi and the coaching staff and the Yankee brass. I just can't imagine having him at Steinbrenner Field and working out during spring training every day. And you know, there are a great number of players that are 100% opposed to what's happened here,
sure.
too. It's not just ownership. It's not just the commissioner. There are just so many players themselves that are just upset that this keeps going on and on and on and on. And they wanted to put an end to it. And now, unfortunately, it's just keeping going.
Well, and he's gone after the Players Association, and I read the other day Chase Utley was in Philadelphia, and he was asked by the media about it, and he had a great answer. He says, I think that Major League Baseball and the Players Association have handled this situation properly. That's
right.
It.
Yep.
That's the discussion.
Well, that was in the contract. That was the agreement, you know, and the Players Association has agreed with it. The owners have agreed with it. The commissioner mm-hmm. has agreed with it. And now, you know, he's taking everybody on legally, saying that they're all wrong. And I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either. Not after you had an arbitrator, and the arbitrator came down and said, this is the penalty. That's it.
Yeah, I said earlier, I think before you got on it, to me, he should have jumped up and down with joy when they made it 162 games instead of the playoffs instead of the 200 and whatever it was.
Right. Lifetime, even.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not to get off baseball, but just real quick, I don't know, did you talk about the new Penn State football coach?
We haven't talked about that. We already talked about the pros so far.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we need want to send out congratulations to a Philly guy, James Franklin, right? Isn't the new coach at Penn State came from Vanderbilt, turned that program around.
Did he ever?
In three years, you know, with winning records, they were the doormat of the SEC. And I heard Bill O'Brien today on Sirius NFL Radio talking about him. He knew they had coached together, which I didn't know, at Maryland for Ralph Pridgen at one time.
Right.
And so they know each other fairly well. And I think, Roger, they
lost one guy with a great deal of integrity, and they got another one with the same integrity.
They got another one.
Yes.
And
very lucky
Donnie's from the Chaminade High School in East Stroudsburg.
Right.
And
okay.
He said this was the job he's always wanted, and this is a goal in his life, and he got it. I think they're very fortunate that they have this young man.
And, I agree 100%.
And the Lord works mysterious ways. I like to walk him, our golf pro, Doug. I know it's cold up in Maryland right now, but anything you tell your fellow members who are lucky to be in the South trying to play a golf game tomorrow?
No. Are you guys scheduled for a tee time or what?
Yeah.
Hey, you're not going to want to play down here either. The temperature down here is going to be about 42 degrees tomorrow.
54 for the high. And that form, guys, is going to be close to 32 in that form. I got to put long sleeve shirts, suns, and sweaters and hats to get in that for that building tomorrow. So that can be fun.
Yeah, we've got about 48 hours of a cold front. Well, actually, two cold fronts coming through.
Right.
And
back to back.
Today was beautiful, but I'm afraid that tomorrow and Saturday are going to be a little tough.
I tell you, my heart bleeds for you. I'm into the downfill jackets up here.
Oh, no.
It's been quite cold. We've been closed for basically the entire month of January. And
So I
always tell, you know, members, and even I haven't swung golf club probably in a few weeks now, but, just don't try to do anything special. I mean, when you get the opportunity to play golf this time of year, just enjoy yourself and all the things that come with it, from the exercise aspect to, just you know, the flexibility in your muscles and all the things that you're going to do to, you know, maybe focus on one portion of your game, whether it's your putting or your short game or your tee ball or whatever. You know, we lose track of how far we actually hit golf clubs, you know, where we don't play for a while. We lose track of touch and feel around the greens. And, you know, I think people try to, you know, do too much this time of year and don't really understand that, you know, it is a game and we are having some fun doing it. So, you know, enjoy yourself while you're out there. And, you know, like I said, it's an interesting transition point between the PGA Show that's coming up. And it's always funny because I get to see, you know, members that maybe go down south and they come back and they have a new driver or a new set of irons. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute, where'd you get that from? You know, so, you know, there's a lot of new technology, a lot of good things that are out there. And I was going to say that kind of the tip of the week is, you know, from time to time this time of year, we look through our bag room and we're cleaning bag racks and moving bags around from storage. And, geez, a whiz, take a look at your golf bag. You know, maybe it's time. Like, some of these bags we move are just, good Lord, it's almost like they have a, you know, a cinder block in them, you know, with all these different golf balls. And, you know what I mean? So take a look at your golf bag and go through it and, you know, make it more manageable for all the people, yourself included. There's a lot of really good options out there from some of these lightweight stand bags that range anywhere from 3 to 6 pounds that have the stands on them. And a lot of people that are listening might say, well, I don't really walk that much. Why would I want a stand bag? But I got to tell you, in and out of your car and just, you know, carrying it around maybe to the range or different places, they're all cart friendly. You know, and it's a great lightweight piece to have. And if you manage it correctly and you have maybe just a few things in your golf bag and don't load it up with golf balls and all kinds of different stuff, I tell you what, it'll make it a lot easier for you. And you might actually change your mind, you know what I mean? Like I said, this time of year when it's a little cooler out here in the north and we do get the opportunity to play, maybe we will this weekend, but go for a walk. Play 5 or 6 holes and actually try to walk a little bit and increase your stamina and your endurance out there. And you'd be surprised how much that can help you during your season, you know.
Well, Doug, you were very fortunate tonight because Leo was at Manny Moe and Jack's getting his tires changed. And he was only able to sit with us for a few minutes, maybe a half hour or so. And we went over to playoffs and all the football news that you could possibly think of. But you and Roger were not with us, so I'd like to hear what the two of you have to say about the weekend games because we pretty much exhausted our arsenal. We'll see what you think.
On my way into work this morning, I was listening to the NFL Network, and it was LaDainian Tomlinson, and I forget who else was on there. The other guy was talking about
Bob Papa.
Is that who it was? Well, they were
Ross Tucker's on Thursday has a morning drive.
Well, I missed the actual topic they were talking about, but they were talking exactly about, you know, the coaching changes and the carousel and all this different stuff. Well, I caught this one Detroit Lions fan that called in, and he was absolutely irate about the hiring of Jim Caldwell and basically discredited the fact that it was an awful hire and they needed a different type of coach with different mannerisms. And he inherited, you know, obviously Tony Dungy's team up there. And then when Peyton Manning left, they were awful. He didn't do anything with the Ravens offense. I mean, it was like, man, I tell you what, And the point I think to be made from my standpoint is, like, you know, when you're a fan of a team like a Detroit or maybe, I don't know, the Raiders or a lot of these teams out there, Browns, sorry, but historically, you know what I mean, you have to question whether it's personnel or their draft picks or whatever because they haven't had a good track record. But I can tell you that, like, in Baltimore, if they announce tomorrow that they hired a new offensive coordinator, you'd have to look at it and say, okay, well, he must have been the right guy for the job. You know what I mean? Because I trust the Ravens. I trust Ozzie and all the things that he's done, whether it's a draft pick or whatever. And you got to think, you know, their track record's been good. You know what I mean? And I think it's funny that you look at a team like Detroit and this guy was mad about the hiring of Jim Caldwell. You know what I mean? So, you know, they're like, what are they doing? You know what I mean? Because you don't even trust your own team, you know, because over the years they've been terrible. You know, so...
Well, I'll tell you, Doug, that was the question I had because I know they were all upset about Jim Caldwell this year, and yet last year he was a hero after he took over for Cam Cameron about midway through the season, and they won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, do you become dumb that quick? I think it's whether you have the horses. It's just like in anything.
Yeah.
And you know, that's it.
Well, it's easy to become disenchanted with somebody when you win the Super Bowl and then you miss the playoffs and think, I need to place the blame on someone. Who's it going to be? But at the end of the day, Jim Caldwell was sitting up, you know, in a booth calling plays. He did the best he could to call the plays. He didn't block for him. He didn't throw it. He didn't catch it. He was calling the plays. You know, it's not his fault that they couldn't actually run the ball. You know what I mean? You know, so.
Oh, I agree with you, and I mm-hmm. I think that he's going to surprise a lot of people. Didn't he take the quarterback's coach
mm-hmm.
That's going to go there as the offensive coordinator who's done a great job
mm-hmm.
With young
yeah.
quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Lazar.
That was his name. Austin,
Bill Lazar.
Lazar. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Lazar was
and,
the Dolphins today.
But he was
yeah.
taking one of the Ravens coordinators with him to be, I might have been the quarterback's coach, something Austin, I think his name was. But I think that's where Caldwell's strength is going to lie, because I think Matthew Stafford, obviously being an overall number one pick, you know, he's a franchise quarterback. But, I played college, you know, baseball, and from a throwing standpoint, Matthew Stafford has some mechanics to make some changes in footwork and work that out. But I think he obviously has a good arm. He's got the best wide receiver in football.
Right.
You know, they have a lot of good things working for him. I think Jim Caldwell will do just fine, you know, with that squad. And I think his mannerisms, I think, might be what they need to change some of their, you know, that often penalty and kind of, you know what I mean, step on their foot kind of thing with, like, Ndamukong Suh doing what he was doing and,
right.
you know, what they get in the media there. So,
well, the other thing is that, you know, as far as Stafford is concerned, the biggest thing is he can't just keep throwing the ball into two or three people. I mean, you know, he turns the ball over because he's careless.
Right.
And, you know, that's the direction you have to take with him first. A lot like Eli when he first came to the Giants, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And when Tom Coughlin said, look, you just can't throw the ball away like this. And he worked the whole summer with him. And of course, it didn't help this year. He threw it away just as many times as he did his first year. But, you know, you just can't turn the ball over. It's as simple as that.
Well, you guys are
well, you
silly
know, that's
guys.
The one
look
criticism
at
of Nick Foles, Don. Was that he did not have the interceptions, but he took sacks where he should have gotten rid of the ball. That one where
right.
he could have had the field goal that could have won the playoff
right.
game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the one thing he didn't do, but he didn't throw interceptions. I mean,
no, he did
know.
Not.
But he
yeah.
also, he was criticized during the playoffs because he didn't take chances. He didn't throw the ball into, you know, a narrow space that he would take a chance of. Well, and they were saying, well, he's got to do that before – he's going to really win. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but he did not do that. He made sure he had a receiver before he threw the ball.
Well, I
exactly.
just want to jump into one point about that just happened here today. I guess you heard about it. You know, Georgia lost their defensive coordinator. Larry Grantham went to Louisville with Petrino.
Mm.
Petrino's gone back there. I can't believe they rehired him, but that's somehow.
Yeah.
But Mark Richt today got Josh Pruitt, the defensive coordinator from the national champion Florida State Seminoles.
Wow.
And he also, and I didn't know this, he was also the defensive coordinator for Nick Saban the last 2 years at Alabama. So he is the defensive coordinator for the last three national champions.
Wow.
Isn't
great,
that a
great
coup?
Hire.
Oh,
great
hire.
Georgia.
Hire.
That's
yeah,
Roger. When you think about it, that Mark Richt has got a lot of potential in Georgia. They were down there for the Outback Bowl a couple of years ago, and I love the way Georgia plays football, guys. He played good, sentimental, found football. And the
well,
SEC.
He's a good guy, too, Tommy, and he's a wonderful man. But I'll tell you, they were just inundated with injuries. You know, they lost their number one receiver. They lost Aaron Murray. That's why he couldn't play in the bowl game. Yeah,
an
ACL surgery. But anyway,
right.
I know you guys talked about this weekend, so Doug and I got to.
Sure.
I'll tell you what my picks are.
Sure.
Seattle, okay, and over San Fran, and I'm also picking. I'm going to go with with Denver over New England.
Yeah, you know,
we'll see what Doug said, but I went the other way completely. I won't re-explain why I did that, but we'll see what Doug has to say.
Well, I tell you, you know, for me, when the Colts left and then before we kind of got the Ravens, I was a youngster, and I actually was a Seattle Seahawks fan, believe it or not. I liked Steve Largent. I liked Dave Craig. I liked a lot about the Seahawks, and it was really weird. I kind of like their logo most of all, I think. Well, I like their old helmets better. Which,
yes,
you know,
I do too.
Yeah. I think to go into, and I know that San Francisco has done it. It's a slobber knocker kind of game where it's very physical. It's a great rivalry. It's a great matchup. You know, they can both run the football. They both can play defense. Seattle is an extremely difficult team, and that's a really difficult place to play. I like the enthusiasm of Pete Carroll, and I like the Seattle Seahawks to win that football game at home. So,
okay.
You know, the other one for me is going to be a great game to watch as well. I'm not a huge New England Patriots fan. I'm really not. I don't like Belichick that much. I'm not a huge fan of Tom Brady. I kind of like to see Peyton Manning win this football game and kind of quiet, you know, some of the people that say that he can't win the playoff game, he can't win the big game. I mean, he's, we'll see, 37 now. I mean, he doesn't have too many opportunities left, I think, and he's done a great job to get his team there. And I think their offense is pretty dynamic. I think that the Patriots are a little bit overrated, in my opinion. And I think Belichick's done a great job to get a team there that's had a lot of injuries and a lot of nobodies, if you will, from the receiver standpoint. You know, LeGarrette Blount, I mean, this guy wasn't even supposed to make the team. The reason
yep.
he did it because he could play on special teams. That's why he made it.
Right.
You know, but I like the Denver Broncos to win this football game at home as well. So,
well, you're going with the chalk. And the reason I went the other way, quite honestly, I'm a big Harbaugh fan as a coach, and I'm not that big. I'm not that big a Carroll fan. And
great
I think that, you know, they've got all the advantages playing at home with the noise and the crowd support. And
mm-hmm.
and you're right, they have a very physical team.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that Harbaugh is going to be the difference. I think he's going to figure out a way to score some points. And with his offensive line, the way it is an excellent, excellent offensive line. So I went with Harbaugh, and I went with the offensive line and the special teams. I think that I went to San Francisco, and then the other side. The only reason I went to New England not because of not necessarily because of the Captain Happy, yeah, but not necessarily because of Brady. Because as I said to Leo when we were talking earlier, this isn't a game between Madden and Brady. This is a team between New England and Denver. All they keep talking about Madden and Brady, this is a war. How many times Madden has won before? How many times Brady has won? This is 2014. Who cares what they did in 2009? Doesn't make any difference. So, go ahead. Why don't we just say one thing? Until Captain Happy shows me that he can't do it, I'm going to stay with him.
Now you got me cracking up, Mr. Captain Happy, Don. Oh, I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Tasty Cake himself, Jeff Dinovar. Jeff, it's been a long time. We're all anxious to talk to you. Welcome aboard tonight.
Hey, guys. It has been a long time. How y'all doing?
Good, Jeff. Well, yes, how are you doing?
Good. Very good. I thought I was listening to Mr. Yankee fan with his little excerpt there.
Oh, man.
I just want to tell you one thing, Don, and everybody. You know, the Super Bowl's in 2.5 weeks.
Right.
And, of course, everybody's talking about it being in New York. But this year, both teams will be based at hotels in Jersey City. And the media headquarters is at the Sheraton at Times Square. So you can get public transportation real easy to any of the locations.
Mr.
Henderson,
Mr. Christie, I just got the report on where they're going to be staying, so you can block the bridge.
Oh, good. What is it?
We're blocking the bridge.
Wait a minute now. Don't be after my friend Chris Christie. Now, a man does not know anything about what happened.
That's right, and I believe him. I know Chris.
And I believe him
very well.
I believe he didn't know anything about it. And,
no,
and
I,
the
I
fact that now they want to crucify him because New Jersey Strong commercials, he was in the Jersey Strong commercials in the year that he was running for office, and now they want to cremate the guy because he was in the commercial. If it hadn't been for him, there wouldn't be a Jersey Shore yet.
That's right.
Jeff, how's everything going in the world of Tasty Cakes? I told Roger coming on the show tonight, he wants to talk to you about getting those Tasty Cakes up in the ATL.
You know what, Jeff? I did. I told Tommy that, and let me tell you that you have them in Dollar General stores up here,
yep.
And that's where I go. And of course, on the road there at Love's, truck stops,
yep.
And they do a big business. But I don't understand why they're not in Racetrack and QT.
Well, we don't service Racetrack. We're not in at all.
That's where I think there's a great opportunity for you.
Yeah, we actually were in there for a little while, but that's one of the accounts we're not in anymore. And QT, what is QT?
Quick Trip.
I've never heard of that. It must be.
Yeah,
up
they're
there.
Bigger than Racetrack.
Wow.
Are they?
Yeah. And
I can tell you,
Racetrack,
we're selling some in Wawa.
Wawa's down there and up north, but this is in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. QT and Racetrack are the two big companies, and they are still building brand-new locations with, like, 20 filling stations, you know, locations, 10 MPDs, 12 MPDs. So, and they're first-class operation. They really are. They're great people working there. And I just thought that that's a great opportunity because you can get Tasty Cakes, and you get them at Publix supermarkets, too. But I go into Dollar General because I know that they've got quite an assortment of Tasty Cakes.
Yeah, we run all kinds of specials in Dollar General, which is nice. They're one of our largest customers. But,
well, you can tell that Roger eats them when you see them.
You can tell when we bought the company out too with me because I put on a few pounds the last 2 years.
No, you haven't.
You're not on Doug's exercise program. Getting ready for golf.
But generally,
hey, there's always room for a Tasty Cake. Come on,
Doug. Jeff is a golf player. Honest to God, I play with Jeff over the summer. Says Jeff. If you ever turn pro, I'll be your public relations manager. This guy can hit Jeff can hit the ball a mile.
Awesome.
I can swear by it.
Played this weekend. We went up to Ocala, and I played with I played 54 holes with Derek Lowe and Troy Gloss. Yeah, we had a blast.
Which course you play up there?
We played Golden Ocala, We did a match play. It was a kind of a Ryder Cup thing between a club from Tampa and a club from Ocala. And
wow!
I had to face Lowe in the first match, and he threw we're playing 7,300 yards. He had 7 birdies and shot 68 on me.
Wow!
Oh, my.
And they came to earth the last two rounds and shot like 80 and 82. But no, Derek can play.
Well, at least he lost to 68. I mean, that's no joke.
You ought to turn him into the SPCA. That's an awful lot of birds to hit.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Where's Leo at?
Right.
All right, Jeff,
Is Ocala about 2.5 hours from Tampa? Is that right?
Yes.
It's an hour. It takes I'm in North Tampa. It's an hour and 15 minutes to the golf course, and that's on the north side of Ocala.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, no, it's not bad at all. No,
we go from here to a hockey game. It's about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah,
but then from here to Ocala is about 2 hours, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but all right, Jeff. Who's your picks for this football game? Now we got San Francisco, Seattle, and we got Captain Happy, which we hate, and Denver with LA.
You hate. Don't say we hate.
Well, I mean, Jack's a Browns fan. He hates Elway for the Broncos. Don, he hates Captain Happy for New England.
Hey, did you read that article about Nick Saban, what he said about Belichick?
No, I didn't read that. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you need to Google. I can't remember where I saw it. It was on ESPN, I think. ESPN.com said, playing under Belichick in Cleveland because he was the D coordinator for 4 years.
That's
right. It was the worst 4 years of my life playing under Bill Belichick. I was shocked when I heard that.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's what we call Captain Happy Beavis and Belichick. I mean, Captain Happy only smiled 7 times during the NFL season when the cameras had him on. It was just that in the paper. Wait, Jeff, remember he used to throw the headset down. He used to yank on the cord, and one day he got tripped on the cord.
Yeah.
I was watching the Browns guy. I was watching more Belichick in the football game, laughing at him.
Yeah.
Say what you want to, boys. Just look at his win-loss record when it's all over.
I know.
That's right.
I know.
That's right.
That's what they can. You know, they can say all they want to about this guy's great, this guy's great, this guy's great. You know what they pay you for? W's. W's. They
I know.
Don't care
yeah,
about
they're right.
you know
I
right,
saw
Jeff.
A line, Tommy, this week, the other day, I guess, in the Daily News. The reason Joe Banner's with Cleveland, no longer with the Eagles, is because of the disaster in his negotiations with Deshaun Jackson on his contract last year.
Wow.
It caused a lot of turmoil, evidently, within the team. Of course, Deshaun, you know, is very vocal. He wants it reworked now. But they said that that's what Jeff Lurie was really unhappy about, you know, because Banner could care less. He's just cold as can be. You're going to do it my way or the highway, you know, and, you know, want it to lead. And that caused a lot of – so that's why I guess that there was a parting of the ways of two good friends.
Well, we still didn't hear his picks yet. We've heard a lot of comments about Tasty Cake, but what happened about the picks?
You want
Jeff,
my picks?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
You guys already do yours?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
All right. Now, I like the home team in both games. I really do.
Okay.
There you go. You're on the same bandwagon.
If the roles were reversed, if it was in New England, I would like New England. I'd like San Francisco. I just like the home teams.
I think
New England has a better chance to upset than San Francisco does. I do.
Okay. Jen, I'd like to welcome Frankie to the line. Frankie, your picks for this week. It's your show. Take it away.
I'm going to say Denver and Seattle.
Ooh, okay.
There you go. Another chalk. Everybody's on the chalk.
Yeah.
That's the same thing I'm picking, guys. Denver, Seattle, I'll tell you. It's just going to be...
I'll tell you, I never felt better, Tommy, than when you picked those two teams. I knew I was in good shape.
Jeff, the last time you were on, I finally won a football contest. It took me 3 years. And as Eagles fan club, I finally won a raffle prize. It took me 3 years. So everything goes in threes. So the next 3 years, I won't win the football picks for the fall. So that's what I tell you that ahead of time.
Yeah, that's because
you were the scorekeeper.
You know, apparently Don's gone off his antipsychotics with his pick, so that in. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm just a guy that thinks coaches are more important than players.
Yeah, but when you have a player coach
players.
But when you have a player coach in Denver, how do you combat that?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll wait and see what happens over the weekend. But, Mr. Belichick's going to come up with a few interesting defensive little quirks, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Well, here's an interesting question. What if Peyton does win the Super Bowl? Does he retire?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
He's got to retire.
That's a good question, though. That is a good question.
Too much money on the table. He's not going to walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't think that he could walk into a huge contract as an OC right off? I mean, people are probably printing money to try and get him when he finally retires.
Wow.
I don't disagree with that.
No. It's just like John Elway, what he did, Jeff, what he did to our Browns and with Belichick coaching the Browns. So I think I just want to see – Denver beat Captain Happy, and San Francisco beat Seattle up there. Those are my picks, guys. I just want to see Captain Happy and Mr. Ed for Elway in the press box. You do that, I'll throw something at the TV. Two guys I really do not like in football.
Doug, it's like rooting against the Yankees. You hate the Yankees because they win.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Did you guys hear Matt Leinart's tirade today on Ken Wisenhunt?
No.
Unbelievable. You know, he played for the Cardinals when Ken was there.
Right.
And he said he's a lousy coach, that was a poor selection, and that it was strictly the quarterback that, you know, came in there and won for 2 years when they went to the Super Bowl. And that it was him with the plays. I never heard a former player go on a tirade against the coach, a guy who's still playing, you know, in my life like this guy did today.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, Don, just to clarify the record, I hate the Yankees because they're the Yankees.
Everybody hates a winner.
I don't like, you know,
Leinart,
my purpose.
When you were talking about Matt Leinart, was he wearing his McDonald's uniform at the time? Or
He could have been, Frankie. I don't know. I heard on the radio today. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, because that's about the only job he's going to get this year.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, Francis, just tick, 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 so we got to end it right now. I'd like to thank Jeff Niedermeyer from Flower Bakery. Jeff, I'll work on that thing tomorrow for you. Call you tomorrow afternoon. Frankie, thanks for coming on. Phil Esposito, Lightning Founding Father, coming on. Leo Haggerty, Paul Perrone. And most of all, Mr. Don Henderson, Philadelphia legend. Roger Hender, Atlanta legend. Roger, real quick, tell everybody he's going to come on next week's show. You've got to tell Don this.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. You know, the Hall of Fame selection will be a week or 2 weeks from Saturday night. They'll announce the winners. And a good friend of mine, Mort Anderson, who's one of the finalists and a great kicker in the NFL for years, great guy, lives not far from me. Don's been over at Lake Lanier with us, and so he knows the area. But Mort told me he's looking forward to being on with us next Wednesday night.
Uh-oh, there we go, guys. Guys, God bless. Have a very great week. And
God bless. Take care, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy it. Roger.
Thank you, guys, for everybody.
Doug.
Thank you, guys, for everything. Frank, wow. What could we say, Frank, huh?
Another battle
wow,
here, Tommy.
We talked about Susan from the USO, get her on up there and that. So, and I forgot to say Lightning's home tomorrow night for Seattle at 7:30 face-off. Call 813-301-6600. I'd like to thank Bradford White Water Heaters, Amber, Pennsylvania. When you want to buy a purchase of water here, log on to bradfordwhite.com. Tim Baker, Tampa Bay Golf, give him a call, 352-588-5454. Frank, the Abbey Course, St. Louis University, the greens are in great shape. Give Tom a call, 352-588-2016. They got a special up there. They got a special. $80 for a foursome up there. $20 a person up there. For January rates, you can't beat that. Frank, give your missus a big hug for me and the boys a big hug. And Chase a big hug. God bless, and have a great week. And I'll keep you posted about the other stuff, Frank. God bless.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night in grateful appreciation of members of the United States Armed Forces, members of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please just walk up and say thank you. It means the world to everybody. And these programs are also dedicated to fallen officers, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Spatinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler. And tonight is the third anniversary of Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police Officer. Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deborah Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Department, Chief Al Hogel, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Philadelphia, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Uniform Division, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office.
my brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time, you'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields. May the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand.
Thank you.
Good night, Bob. We miss you. Good night, Frank. We love you.
All right.